My aunt's little ones are doing a 9-week course. And I mean, I know they're really OLIC and stuff, but I just think it's kind of cruel. Because when she says sit, they sit. When she says come, they come. And now, she's teaching them tricks, like party tricks and stuff. I mean, it's exploitation. Come on, I mean, the poor dogs.
A combination meal, inspired by 7 colors, there's something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, so it's the only thing that people are speaking about on Twitter, and always the most interesting time of year for the ANC with the policy conference that takes place, and like right before the festive season, always like that. You know, if you're a journalist that's been working hard from January to November, you ain't seen nothing yet by the time December rolls around. These people have to really take it to the last split second just before Christmas. Joining us now on the line is a political analyst, Tsepo Kgadima, to speak to us a little bit about the ANC results announced last night. Tsepo, is there anyone that should be surprised with these results? Is there anything surprising about Cyril Ramaphosa being announced the president of the ANC? Some people are surprised. Should they be?
Not quite. I think, look, the race was very tight. And when the accreditation were finalized and the credentials were adopted, it meant that the race became even tighter. So clearly, I mean, it could go either way. But I think that if you really, you know, assess on that, it shouldn't be surprising. What is surprising exceedingly, though, is that most of us had the expectation that the outcome will be alongside the lines of a slate. And now we know, of course, that you know, that did not happen. So effectively, you have a half-baked cake here that I think we're going to see an exceedingly boisterous 5 years as far as the ANC politics go with the type of leadership that has now been elected. And barring, of course, if the contestation of the position of SG is not challenged in the court and reversed, it will mean that therefore we're going to be in for a very boisterous political period within the ANC.
How does it translate and affect the average person on the average South African when, you know, those top six positions aren't necessarily all aligned to one another in terms of thinking and rationale? How does that affect the everyday person? Is it a case of, you know, people aren't able to focus on the job at hand, or will it, you know, not be something that affects everyone else?
The top six as it currently stands.
Yeah.
And we, of course, await to see the people who will be elected, the other 80 people who will be elected to the National Executive Committee. Mm. But the top six as it stands now, my own assessment is that there's going to be a greater degree of dysfunctionality. Hmm. And a degree of dysfunctionality on the basis that effectively there are two ideologies that now have to coexist. Mm. But those two ideologies are diametrically opposed. And with the two ideologies being diametrically opposed, and taking into account the decision of 2007 at Polokwane, whereby the ANC resolved that the party is the center of power. So essentially what we have seen in the last 8 years or so of Zuma's presidency, or even during Mokante in the interim period that he was there, in 2008 we saw ministers being told to go and account at the Thule House in terms of what they were doing and how they were executing their government duties and functions.
Yeah.
And deployment committee, which has been chaired by the deputy president and continues to be chaired by the deputy president, with the secretariat run by the deputy secretary general of the ANC, meant that by and large, they were starting now to dictate. And even in certain instances, I would say, usurp the duties and functions of government ministers or cabinet, and in terms of key appointments and key decisions. So with the current play or with the current leadership, the top six, the officials, that dysfunctionality is going to have a direct impact on how even government itself functions. We've seen in recent times that the Thule House would openly disagree with what the union buildings would be saying on any one matter. And also there had been a lot of vacillation, no decisive decision-making, because of that communication that exists between the Thule House in the office of the Secretary General, as well as the President in terms of the union building. And with the current top six, essentially you are going to see more of the same, whereby the Thule House will have a particular view because the ideologies that are encompassed within this leadership core are diametrically opposed. So you will probably eventually see a situation where the union building through Ramaphosa will be expressing itself in one form or another, and the Thule House coming up with a completely different view, because again, the contestation of this ideology will continue beyond this conference and for the next 5 years from what I'm seeing.
Tebo, you're not painting a particularly positive picture here. I mean, I know a lot of South Africans are very, very excited about the news, but I think a lot of South Africans think, you know, whoever the president of the ANC is the person that will steer it in the direction that it goes, and perhaps fail to realize that within, you know, the top leadership, there are many ways that it can go, and that it's not just one person that drives the entire sort of initiative. What do you think are the chances of, you know, other people that are leaders within the ANC who may not necessarily have bought into the vision of Cyril Ramaphosa now starting to buy a little bit more into his vision over time? Or do you think that people are going to very staunchly cling to what it is that they believe in 2017, moving into 2018, 2019, and 2020?
Yeah, my assessment is that we're probably going to see people holding on to their positions. And that is essentially, this is just a case of the chickens coming home to roost from 2007. It was even Tito Mboweni himself, who's the who was on the this erstwhile National Executive Committee, who said boldly that when Zuma came to the NEC meeting, he was one among the equals. There was no seniority. And that told us everything else about this state of dysfunctionality I'm talking about. Because it meant that, and even Mandashe himself, when he was the Secretary General, we remember recently he said Zuma cannot make any decisions on his cabinet unless he consults with us, and we so expressly authorize him to make those changes according to what we want. So we, again, and some of us criticized that at the point to say, in fact, it shows of dysfunctionality even within the seat of government itself, because the Constitution of the Republic expressly empowers the president to take certain decisions. And yet, the ANC Constitution effectively counters that. It counters that power. It tapers that power down that is in, constitutionally entrenched. And it creates this situation whereby certain things cannot be taken. Now, for example, we sit here in 2017 with an economy that is effectively moribund, has not been growing for some time. Even during the time that it was growing, it was not creating the jobs at the pace that is required to address the social problems that we have in our country. And now, whichever economic blueprint that the ANC could decide upon, we see that they are still arguing about who should actually be elected, and there's only one day left for conference. So one has to question the quality of the output of policies that will come out of this conference. But even worse is that there is a disjuncture between policy formulation and implementation, which the tools are either cabinet, which is the executive, or a legislative tool, which would be parliament. And that disjuncture has, by and large, I think, made many people to observe that, yes, policy formulation within the ANC is good, but implementation is effectively, is really where it all fails. And that is as a result of this, as I say, dynamic that bring about tension and dysfunctionality. Now, what is Cyril Ramaphosa coming into? He's coming into a situation whereby we now have got debt, the highest level. We are now over 60%. We have a 60% debt to GDP ratio. Now, for, you know, for all of us ordinary citizens, we have to now think about that carefully. It means that if we were to take the debt of South Africa today where it stands and divide it equally, you know, equally against every man, woman, and child in this country, it will equate to 45,000 rand per person. So you think about it, you say, well, what is the impact of that? The impact of that is that to address adequately and radically or effectively the issue of inequality and poverty and unemployment, it just becomes a pipe dream by the day because of the size of the debt that is there, which now means that 20 cents out of every rent that the state earns through taxes, 20 cents goes towards debt servicing costs. And according to the medium-term budget statement as read by Minister Malusi Gigaba, by the year 2020, which is not far from now, those debt servicing costs would equate to between 35 and 37 cents for every rent that the state will be earning in taxes. So therefore, meaning even the issue of free higher education, as has now been introduced and rather decided by the president on Saturday, that itself is becoming even exceedingly more difficult because the resources that are continually under pressure. So what does Cyril Ramaphosa have to do? He can't hold on to the position of saying, look, we have to not increase taxes specifically with the corporate sector. So because the consumer is already extended beyond possibility in terms of the taxes, which is pay as you earn, fuel taxes, as well as personal income tax, which is from the payroll. Mm. So these are the big problems that this new leadership core headed by Cyril Ramaphosa is facing. And, at this point in time, my own assessment is that we can only extend commiserations to them instead of congratulations.
Sure. It's a very strong sentiment. Sure, you really just... I was so excited about this whole thing, and you kind of just came in with a lot of different ideas there, but it's good. Tsepo, if people want to find out a little bit more about your opinions and connect to some of your analysis, how do we find you on social media?
I have a Twitter handle and a Facebook page. Now I must remember, I think my Twitter handle must be Tsepo_Khadima1.
Cool.
And on Facebook, it's just Tsepo Khadima. And yes, but I appreciate the opportunity to have been on Cliff Central. And, Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
Thank you so much. And we hope for the best in the new year. That's Tsepo Khadima there joining us, political analyst. I think, like I said, a lot of people have seen the announcement and have heard about it and think that from here is smooth sailing. But in politics, there is no smooth sailing. It's like always rocky roads in politics, but different to get different opinions on it. Certainly a lot of people excited about Cyril Ramaphosa being the brand new president of the ANC. No matter what, change is like 99.9% of the time, like really good. So that's where I'll leave that. CliffCentral.com.